You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 12th of February. It is 4 minutes past the time, 4 minutes past 10, excuse me, and you're listening to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook post, if you want to send a Facebook page, if you want to send a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official. And you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Going to be handling a variety of issues, seeing how we're going on today. Going to be looking at toxic masculinity, gender fluidity, and issues affecting millennials, especially in the news a bit earlier this week that millennials are unable to wake up, or they want to be able to. There's been a petition online about millennials wanting to go to school, or people wanting to go to school or college a little bit later, because they say they can only sort of kick into the day about 12 o'clock. Looking forward to doing that. 952-78-4000, studio@tre.radio is the email. I am joined in the studio for the panel today by Rosalind Scott-Gibb. Good morning to you, Rosalind.
Good morning, Giles.
Good to have you with us, as always.
Thank you.
Joining me is Kate Mulvey.
Good morning, Giles.
Good to have you with us. She's smiling already. And great to have with us as well, Claudio De La Torre. Morning, Claudio.
Very good morning to you and everyone listening.
Glad you could make your way in through the interesting traffic conditions in this morning.
Indeed, yes. With the rain, it's a bit of a nightmare out there.
Right then. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. And you can WhatsApp us on +34 645 99 67 95. But let's kick off, as we always do, with the newspaper headlines today. Looking at your newspaper headlines are today. The Guardian reports that Theresa May hopes to convince the Commons to give her another fortnight's grace to keep pushing for changes to her Brexit withdrawal agreement, in spite of the EU's refusal to give it in to her demands. The paper thinks she's unlikely to signal any shift towards a closer future relationship with the EU when she addresses MPs later, describing her talks in Brussels last week. An unnamed ally of Mrs. May tells the Financial Times, "We have a series of meetings where they effectively told us they were not prepared to give us the things that we wanted." HuffPost UK claims that a no-deal Brexit is now the Prime Minister's fallback plan, to save her party and herself if she can't rescue her withdrawal agreement. It says some of those who know her best say she is thinking the unthinkable after deciding in recent weeks that jumping off the cliff may somehow have a softer landing than expected. According to a report in The Sun, Cabinet ministers believe Mrs. May is preparing to resign as Prime Minister this summer after delivering Brexit, so she can influence the choice of her successor. She says she's hinted as much to two senior figures, including International Trade Secretary Liam Fox. The Sun says the plan will be seen as an attempt to stop Boris Johnson becoming Prime Minister. Research by the pollster YouGov for The Times predicts that Mrs. May would win a working majority if a general election were held today. The poll of 40,000 adults last week, combined with the demographics of individual constituencies, suggests Labour would lose 12 seats whilst the Tories would gain 4. The Times says Parliament would still be highly unstable and the Prime Minister would struggle to push through her policies, particularly on Brexit. Daily Telegraph draws attention to proposals by the NSPCC for criminal sanctions on social media companies that breach all duty of care to their users. The charity wants to see a regulator with powers to fine tech firms millions of pounds if they fail to prevent children being harmed online. Daily Express focuses on a report warning that millions of people could be left struggling to pay for essentials because of the closure of cash machines and bank branches. According to figures obtained by consumer group Which, ATMs vanished at a rate of nearly 500 a month at the rate of the second half of last year. And finally, in the UK papers, The Times highlights a study that suggests that taking the contraceptive pill can impair a woman's ability to read other people's emotions from their facial expressions. Women involved in the research were shown images of faces. Those taking oral contraceptives were consistently worse at deciphering complex feelings such as pride or contempt. The researchers think the difference may be down to the pill's effect on hormones, which influence regions of the brain involved in emotional processing. I'm quivering even if I read that. Meanwhile, on our Spanish headlines with our media partner, El País, in Spain, Valencia government buys the landmark peak known as the Stone Giant in a bid to preserve the second highest mountain on their territory. Regional authorities have purchased a third of the summit from a private owners for 1.14 million. Right-wing parties attract tens of thousands to protest against the Spanish PM. Conservative Partido Popular, centre-right Ciudadanos and far-right Vox called the demonstration in response to Pedro Sánchez's handling of the Catalan independence drive. And lead story is, in Spain, a political storm precedes the trial of Catalan independence leaders. The prosecution and the defensive strategies will hinge on whether any violence was used during the bid for unilateral secession. And those are your headlines today, Tuesday, the 12th of February. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. We're going to kick off today's with toxic masculinity. It's a subject which has been debated lively and loudly over the past 3 to 4 months. We remember the Gillette commercial and the ongoing over the week as well, the revelations about Harvey Weinstein and his culture within his business empire. I'll kick off with Kate. Toxic masculinity, Kate, what is it? Where do we go from here? Why are we being affected?
Right,
from it?
Well, I think we make two distinctions between Harvey Weinstein and sexual harassment at work,
right,
and what has become a politically led feminist agenda of bashing what it is to be male. Now, the American Psychological Association have actually put out a report that says every traditional male trait from stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggression have been deemed harmful to both sexes, causing violence and depression. Now, so what, in other words, what they're saying is what it is to be male has been transformed as a negative trait, but we know full well that those very traits or what society is based on that keeps it healthy, that keeps it functioning. What would we have done without the barons in America at the turn of the century, the Carnegies, the Vanderbilts, who built America? The idea of male attributes are part of what makes society. We talked about the women and facial expressions just now. That is a very feminine trait. But what we're doing is it's all about the rights of women, and we're crushing what it is to be male. So I think where to go from here is to open up the debate, because we're closing down debate at the moment. The Me Too movement are such bullies that you're not allowed to say anything. Their books have been written, it's called Sexism at Work, whereby men don't know what to do anymore. If I say you've got a pretty dress on, am I going to get sacked? And that's a real example of what's happened.
Me Too is a bullying movement. Rosalind.
Well, I think that's pretty pathetic. It's taken hundreds of years till we get to a point where women finally are allowed to have a voice about the way they're treated in the office or in the workplace. We're not talking about the macho male. The macho male can be the macho male is still very much amongst us. He just has to be a little more respectful of other human beings, and that includes women. If a man's getting so confused that he thinks he can't say, "Oh, you look beautiful today," then he really needs a little a little bit of help on what politeness and manners and respect mean. And it wouldn't do any harm to be teaching this in the schools. We are women are not demasculating men. We're trying to say, you know, we also deserve respect. Men have always had respect and earned it. But we are talking about in the workplace. We're not talking, well, actually, we're also talking about wife battering. Now, I know some man is going to phone up and say, well, what, my wife batters me. But that's one out of 5,000. And so it's just time to listen to the women for a change and not take it to the extreme.
Claudia, what are you coming on the point there?
Well, it's a difficult issue because there'll always be, it will always cause controversy and some people become very emotional talking about this issue. However, I think it's like everything. If it's in moderation and it's not taken to an extreme, everything's fine. I just think it's just common sense and respect is needed, and it's not necessary to go to any extreme of either criminalizing certain behaviors that are not let's say harmful. That it's just innocent things, like for example, saying compliment. Some people say that some extremists say that complimenting women in the street should be considered an offense. For example, I don't agree with that. Of course, harassment or disrespect or saying vulgarities, yes, but I think one has to take it with a pinch of salt and just apply common sense like everything else.
Applying common sense like everything else, Kate.
Well, that would be great in an ideal world. But to come back about this kind of Me Too movement, yes, of course, sexual harassment is already illegal. And what the Me Too movement did at the beginning was very good. It has now become, and it has been hijacked by third wave feminists who are politicizing the entire fabric of society. They're not, the macho male can't exist anymore because he has been deemed to be toxic. This idea of bending human nature to fit political ideals is very, very dangerous. We are not going around saying that men have to be a certain way. One unfairness, a patriarchal society, is not solved by another unfairness. The problem is the pendulum has swung completely the other way. And going into schools is one of the most ridiculous ideas I've ever heard of. It is happening. I have nephews, and what's happening is they feel crumpled. They feel shamed by what is known as rambunctious boyish behavior, and by criminalizing, and these things have become legislation. This idea of misogyny as a hate crime is an extremity that has become ridiculous, and it is a political agenda to make men become feminists. Like Prince Harry said, I'm a feminist.
952-78-4000, if you want to get involved with the show, you've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? And that call has now gone. Rosalind.
In the schools, well, I know that in the universities, Ottawa, which is a very conservative town, but Carleton University, I was talking to my sister about rape of students, and she said, well, it also goes on at Carleton University. So I think it's very important that boys, men are taught manners, respect for your fellow human being. And as far as the Me Too movement, okay, there's a few very extremists which you get in any movement, but that's no reason to bring the whole movement down. We still definitely do not have equal pay for equal work. Women do not have equal opportunities in the workplace at all. It's slowly, slowly changing, or it's a little wave, a little blimp, and then we'll go back. We don't have to worry about protecting men. Men look after themselves, and men look after each other very well. Women do not do this, but men do. And men don't need women to protect them as well.
952-78-4000. Got that caller back. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, good morning. It's Gary here.
Morning, Gary.
Kate, will you marry me?
Absolutely, Gary. Are you a real male?
Yes, unfortunately, in this day and age, yes. Bye-bye.
There you go then, marriage. We are in Valentine's week after all. We are, so there you go. Marriage proposals on air. Claudia, you're grinning there. Okay, let's have a look at the... He's just grinning. Looking at the definition we have, in case you're a bit worried about the... or not quite sure on the terms that we have. Toxic masculinity is a social science term that defines narrow, repressive type of ideas about the male gender role, that defines masculinity as exaggerating masculine traits like being violent, unemotional, sexually aggressive, and so forth. Also suggests that men who act too emotional or maybe aren't violent enough or don't do all the things that real men, quote-unquote, do can get their man card taken away. Many people, however, can confuse the difference between masculinity and toxic masculinity. One can be masculine, though, without having toxic masculinity. Some beliefs, it says, that this is according to UrbanDictionary.com, interactions between men and women always have to be competitive and not cooperative. Men can never truly understand women, and that men and women can never ever just be friends, that real men need to be strong, and that showing emotion is a sign of weakness, unless it's anger, and that's considered okay. The idea that men can never be victims of abuse and talking about it is shameful. The idea that real men always want sex and are ready for it at any time. The idea that violence is the answer to everything and that real men solve their problems through violence. The idea is that men could never be single parents and that men shouldn't be very interactive in their children's learning and development, and that men should always be the dominant one in the relationship. The idea that any interests in a range of things that are strictly considered feminine would be an emasculation of a guy. Ros?
Well, Kate's a wonderful example of the Stockholm Syndrome. And these women who have been under men's control for so long and really identify with them and see them as the underdog and against their own sex. Now, the Me Too movement, I'm not in favor necessarily of movements, but the Me Too movement has come at the right time to help women around the world. It's given women a voice, women in India, women in the Middle East. Unfortunately, Saudi Arabia, it hasn't been very good for them. These women who have found their voice were then imprisoned and beaten and who knows what else. But so it's very, very important. And it's very important for women to stand up for other women, even though you may not be in a position where you need assistance. I mean, I've been bullied in many work situations. I can even go into my neighbor again, which I was talking to a judge the other day, and she was very concerned about prosecuting a man in case he wasn't guilty. No concern for the woman who's been pressurized and had objects stolen for 3 years. He might not be guilty.
Kate.
Yeah, let me just come in. Women standing up for women. Now we have Rosalind accusing her fellow panelist of being Stockholm Syndrome. A very serious accusation, I would say. And I think that really is quite ironical because you actually just ruined your own argument. But let me say that what the thing when you're talking about different countries, et cetera, we're talking here about the West. We're talking here about the American Psychological Association. We're talking about something, a political, cultural landscape that has changed. One reason because of social media, therefore the outpourings of the emotionally deranged or even these women. I mean, I would say, could Rosalind be suffering from being a toxic female? Because this idea of man bashing, does it mean that somewhere in the past they had some horrible father or something? Because you have to look at being objective. Looking at the facts, instead of bashing each other, I think, and one of the things we need to look at is what is atavistic, how we are hardwired. The male and the female are very different. We have Valentine's Day. Aren't we buying hearts and roses for men? No, we're not. And I think what you've also got to remember, we've had the 60s, we've burnt our bras, we've had the second wave feminists, we've had the 70s, we've had man groups that have questioned these rigid stereotypes. We've had the metrosexual, men wear pink jumpers, God forbid. However, we are not in some Neanderthal past. These things have already been dealt with. Now, we have got to make a distinction between what is rape. Oh, let's go into schools and tell boys they're not allowed to run around the corridors. My nephew has had many level one punishments like his friends for just being a boy. Therefore, we must make that distinction between what is something that is already illegal and something that is just normal male behaviour.
Ross.
I like a man to be a man. I don't want a feminine man. I think men should be men, and I've always recognized and respected the difference between men and women. And I like to be a feminine woman. I rarely take my stilettos off. In fact,
there's no answer to that one, Rosie. But
one of the things that has happened that has added to this problem is the T word, Trump. Right. Because Trump is such a bully and has brought out the worst in men. And again, this has made it okay for men around the world to treat women without respect.
Let's go to the WhatsApps here from Richard in London, 952-78-4000, the phone number. WhatsApp is +34 645 99 67 95, and you can leave a quote as well, or a post on our Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. Right then, the issue is, as in most cases, that people are choosing to be offended. Claudio is spot on. Compliments are not harassment. The equal work argument. Let me chuck in women's tennis to the mix. Those are on the WhatsApps at the moment. 952-78-4000. If you wish to get involved with the show, 952-78-4000.
Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always lively. Viewpoint Talk Radio's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests joined this time round by Ros and Scott Gibb, Claudia De La Torre and Kate Mulvey. We go live to the lines, 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi there. It's John from the Costa Blanca.
Good morning, John.
Just a comment for a lot of men out there. I'm a woman lover, not a hater. I think they're fantastic. But most men listening to this show will suffer day in, day out of nagging and general unhappiness for various reasons in their relationship that they really won't understand, that come from the woman. Most men listening to this also will be too scared to agree with that comment in front of their wife or their partner and go on day in, day out in their lives suffering. It would be nice if women just stop nagging their men. I know a lot of women will hate me for this, but you guys all agree with me.
Are you using an assumed name, by the way?
An assumed name?
Yes.
No, John.
Right then, you're a brave man. I've got women who I wouldn't even think about as nagging, looking at me across. And Rosalind wants to come back on a point here, John.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, John. I have sympathy for the husband that might be nagged. But just in Spain, 9 wives have been killed after being beaten severely, going to the police. Then the man is eventually let go after 2 or 3 days, and 9 have been killed by the spouse already, and we're just beginning of February.
Yeah, that's different. And I think it's deplorable. It's terrible. But sometimes women are killed in relationships as a result of a lot of provocation. There's no excuse for it. A true man should walk away and not be in that situation, and obviously not harm.
Masculinity, yep. And rape and murder and domestic violence, they're two different things. Toxic masculinity is about, there's a book saying sexism at work, is about, as Claudio said, men have been taken to court literally by putting an arm round a woman, compliments, it's a nice dress. We had the example of the lawyer on LinkedIn when a fellow lawyer made a compliment. She actually took him to court. The problem is that women, it's a toxic female, and it's this idea that from social media, that of personal truth. I felt it was abuse, and therefore it is. If you put your hand on my knee, I will get you sacked. Now, these things are facts, and this is what has led to the term toxic masculinity. There is a trajectory of what has started out as something that may have meant something that was good, but now the pendulum has gone the other way. And there is no denying that. There are cases.
As cases, I must agree, or just as much as women should be protected from sexual harassment and abuse, I think also men's rights need to be protected from fake accusations which have occurred and that can be very very destructive. There have been many cases in Spain of men who have been falsely accused of harassment or rape, and the trial has maybe lasted 2 or 3 years, but until they were proven innocent or guilty, they've lost the custody of their children, or they've spent 6 months in jail, and then later they've been acquitted. So I think just there needs to be a balance, because otherwise we're going into a very dangerous territory.
John.
Can I just make one more very important point on that case in Spain? You may not know this, but you can check it out, and it's fact. If a woman in Spain calls the police and says she's being maltreated by her partner or husband, the Guardia Civil have to arrest that man for the safety of the woman. So they will go to the house or wherever it is and arrest that man. He will then spend the night in a police cell, and in the morning he will face a judge and have to say his case, why he didn't do anything and that he wasn't maltreating her. When he enters the courtroom, and you can check this out at your local courts, the courtrooms are numbered, and one of them above the door says violence against women. And that's the door that in a potentially innocent man goes through in front of all the people in that court. How that can happen and be allowed with the innocent till proven guilty laws and everything, I do not know. But that's a fact. No one has to go through a door saying that they molested children or they robbed a bank. But for violence against women, it says it above the door. And in some courts, it says it above the door on the street.
Thank you for your call in there, John.
Where is that, John? Because I've spent a lot of time in the Estepona and Marbella court system, and I've never seen any sign like that at all.
Have a look. All the courts have got it. I've been in numerous courts for different reasons, I hasten to add. But for that courtroom, violence against women.
Thank you for your call in there, John. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Kate?
Yeah, I think we've got to make a distinction. This conversation is turning into what is domestic violence, which is a whole another topic. What we're talking about here, toxic masculinity, is about the idea, and it is a serious idea, and it's a serious thing, that being male is in itself toxic. And what's happening is that this idea that aggression, that women in the workplace shouldn't, the male aggression, which is part of being male, and part of the hormonal difference of testosterone and estrogen. And the problem is we are shaming men for being men.
952-78-4000, got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Morning. Subject choice, well done, and thanks for giving us a break off of Brexit. The lady there is exactly right. We're talking about gender violence here, which is not the subject you really started off with. Going back to the Gillette advert, have you seen the Gillette advert?
I have indeed, yes.
It? Yeah? It's disgusting, isn't it, really? Don't you think?
It's for me personally, and I'm talking off record here, if you will, Peter, it's a little bit too American for my liking, and a little too bit simplified, if you like.
Yeah, it's a shame because Kim Herrig, who's the producer of that advert, I took my hat off to her when she done the Tampax advert, and I sent it to my daughter. I sent it on to send to her granddaughter. Have you seen the Tampax advert?
I've missed that one, Peter.
No, well, go back a couple of years, and it's Fight Like a Girl. Absolutely fantastic. She got a load of girls, and it's called Fight Like a Girl. Watch it.
Brilliant. I do remember that one, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And that was Kim Herrig. And so she's obviously got talent, this woman. And but now she's turned it on its head and gone completely the other way. And it is absolutely make men out to be toxic. Not only that, if you look at it carefully, it's black men telling white men not to do this and not to do that. It's a deplorable piece of work, which, as I said, it's a shame because she's a talented woman, obviously. As for Roslyn, you keep saying men need to be educated. Men need to. You're shifting the blame onto men all the time. I come from an all boy family raised by a very strict, very powerful, dominant matriarch mother, and we were taught to hold doors open, please and thank you. We were taught to sew. We were taught to put our own buttons on, darn our own socks, wash up behind us, take something out of the living room into the kitchen when we left. We did all that, and I still do that, and I taught my daughter that, and that she's teaching her grandchildren that, and I still hold doors open for people. But you say be educated and be polite. I have been abused for holding a door open for a female, because she feels that I am being patronizing. So you do live in a very mixed world. And the problem is governments are legislating for it, and they're forcing us to say and do things that aren't natural. And that's where the problem's coming in. If you are on Facebook now, and I'm not on Facebook, I have nothing to do with social media, but apparently now there's 71 different ways to describe somebody's gender. Now, I'm a cisgender, which means I identify the gender assigned with at birth. I mean, what sort of society are we living in now? It is absolutely ridiculous. And the signals out there, people do not understand.
Peter, we lost your last bit there. You're still there.
Sorry. How far
did we go? I do not understand. And then he went muffled.
Yeah, well, I do not understand it, because there's a lot of confusion out there, and people are very confused. And the problem we've got now is we're forcing a wedge between men and women. We all know to divide and conquer, but they're forcing this wedge between men and women. And I have two friends that I've grown up with all my life who've got who've both got sons, and they're very intelligent, very smart, very good-looking young guys. And they were recently over, about 18 months ago. And I mentioned it, you were on the show before, Rosin, and I said there's a movement called MGTOW. And you said, oh, it's a load of sad old men. MGTOW, M-G-T-O-W, it's men going their own way. Now, when I was speaking to these two boys, one has just become a doctor, and one is in the military. I was absolutely amazed that the way they spoke about women. Not that they dislike women, but they distrusted women, and they were fearful of women. They go abroad and use prostitutes. They do not get involved in long-term relationships. They think that if they get into a long-term relationship, they will suffer from it, and they will not just lose their freedom, but they will lose a lot of their rights. And if we look back through time, this has nothing to do with Trump, Rosin. It's ridiculous to blame it on Trump. This has always happened, and men have always been discriminated against in certain things, and women have always been discriminated against in certain things. And it's great that we're moving to a point where men used to be always if in a relationship, if they split up, they lost their child, lost the right to see their child, had to pay for the woman to live in the house, all these sort of things. But that men are not standing up screaming that they were wronged all 20, 30 years ago. And women had many things against them. They couldn't have a pension. They had to have a man to sign off on a document to get a mortgage and things like that. We've moved much, much further along the lines of that. And there is much more equality out there. And I suspect I'm more into equality than you are, Rosin. I firmly believe that women should be given absolutely every opportunity as every other human being. I mean, do you think? Sorry, I'm wolfing here. If you need to go to war now, men are sent straight away. Do you think there should be a law written in that everybody should go, regardless of a woman is a woman or whether she has children at home or not? See, people don't think these things through, and the government are forcing in legislation that's confusing people time and time again. And honestly, I don't know. Boys and girls now, they don't know. They're a different species, and it's always been fumbling and confusing for a young boy with a girl who's a little bit more mature than him. But at the moment, I think boys and girls are being driven apart as completely different species, let alone different sexes. And it's a very sad state of affairs.
Interesting points, Peter. Well made again. Boys and girls being driven against other species. Just looking at MGTOW, men getting their own way. This is what they say. It's a statement of self-ownership where the modern man preserves and protects his own sovereignty above all else. It is the manifestation of one word, no, ejecting silly preconceptions and cultural definitions of what a man is, looking to no one else for social cues, refusing to bow, serve, and kneel for the opportunity to be treated like a disposable utility, and living to his own best interest in a world which rather
which would rather he didn't. In other words, common sense for men and sovereignty. Claudia, does that make any impression on you? Common sense for men, sovereignty, a statement of self-ownership, preserving and protecting your own sovereignty above all else.
Well, in a way, I must agree. I think one has to protect oneself from any danger or any harm. But then again, I just find like this issue of toxic masculinity, and it's very divisive, and because it will always, and I don't like anything that confronts people or makes people hate each other or anything like that. I just feel that in this day and age, there's too much division already as it is to add another thing. It's just like the division, for example, it's just an example of Brexiteers and Leavers, or feminists and non-feminists, and Trumpists, non-Trumpists. I just feel that the media also has a part to blame in trying to stir and cause division. And then we get politicians that use this to their own benefit. For example, Harriet Harman, or Harperson, whatever one wants to call her. She is all said on the media many times that men should be criminalized for certain things, or that they should be legal quotas in the House of Commons for there to be the equal amounts of male and female MPs, or that companies should be penalized if they don't have enough women on their boardrooms. And I think it's not necessary to push all of this agenda. Of course, I'm all for equal opportunities, but however, I think, for example, this advert of Gillette that was very controversial, some people agree with it. I think, okay, it's fine that it's caused a debate. However, I think this is it shouldn't be used as an excuse to continue causing more friction and a kind of gender war. All this idea of gender war completely horrifies me.
Okay, live to the lines, 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning. It's the suspect in Alicante, Sharon in Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
Morning, everybody. We are going to, if you look at the whole world now, with every aspect of the digital age, the women and men thing, we're going through a massive transition. Politics, the far right creeping in all over the world and various countries. We're going through so much change now, and the role of women is just one of them in a major, major. I feel. Since the digital age, certainly, I felt in complete turmoil about the changes, the pace of change in the world. I think you interviewed somebody the other day, Giles, was talking about the pace of change. And I will just make a couple of points. The first point is, I agree, there's a massive difference between the day-to-day hassles and the abuse of women, sexual abuse of women. I don't know whether Kate's aware, but in primary schools in the UK, we have little boys now trying to rape little girls. That's never happened before. And I suspect the breakup of marriages and single parent families hasn't helped. And also in Spain, what worries me now is the abuse laws, the wolf gang, that because the victim wasn't seen to be physically resisting them, they got off. I'm hoping something's being done about that. I think common sense should prevail, yes. But I think that we have to... I just think that when you have such massive change, and yes, we have come a long way, but pendulums do swing to the other in the other direction, and over time they swing back to neutral. So I think we just have to give it a bit more time, and look at the way we bring up boys and girls to treat people with respect. Look, I've had women open doors for me. I've had men open doors for me. I don't like the idea that a man has to open the door for me. I'd far rather have equal pay at work, which a lot of women still aren't getting. But I'll open any doors for anybody, so it's not necessarily a man-woman thing. Interestingly, I've got two cats, one male and one female, and they say you should watch animals and the way they behave. Now, the little boy, they're both six, and he gets very silly, and he'll jump on her and irritate her and wind her up, and she just literally hisses at him and pushes him off, and she goes gets very physically aggressive to get her to just calm him down and tell him to pee off, really. And I think sometimes if you watch animals, they're a good example to follow. Thanks a lot.
Sharon, we can discuss anything on this programme, but I do draw the line at cats, being a cat person myself. We're at a whole load. I mean, we can throw Brexit and Trump and everything else out the window if we have a discussion about cats, Sharon. But thank you for your call in.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye.
Okay. 952 78 4000. Quick point, Rosalind, then we're going to go to a break.
Okay. Cats are special and different. They don't operate like other animals.
Absolutely. Back after this.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
You're listening to Viewpoint, always live and always lively on TRE Talk Radio, Pure Voice in Spain. Joined in the studio by Claudia Latorre, Kate Melvey, and Rosalind Scott Gibb. Let's go to the internet. Let's go to the emails, which is studio@tre.radio. Steve Ben Amadna, absolute rubbish. I think that's a point that's been made. Yes, strangely enough, that says an awful lot about some of our listeners, but as soon as we start talking about men and women, I've had a 3 or 4 WhatsApps now on +34 645 99 67 95 about the two Ronnies, because there was in the 70s there was a two Ronnies running sketch of a dystopian Britain ruled exclusively by women, and that was called, it was the Worm That Turned. So I've had a couple of emails in by that. Also looking, just as a point of order, Like a Girl was Lauren Grenfell's ad for Always. This is talking about the advert. We'll talk about that advert in a little while. And again, looking at my emails there, we'll come on to that one a little bit later. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. Facebook page, Talk Radio Proficial. And you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Rosalind.
Yeah, just really in response to Peter, I'm very sorry his sons have grown up to feel that they're only comfortable with prostitutes. I think that's very sad, and they haven't been successfully socialized. There's a big problem there that should be looked at. But it's a huge misconception that women have come forward in strides and are almost equal. The only country in the world where women have equal pay for equal work is Iceland, in fact, and that's been in place for about 3 years. And other countries, it's actually moving back. Even Norway, which was almost equal pay for equal work, has moved back. And so the rights of women have not moved forward. It's a misconception that even a lot of women have, unless you're actually in the workplace and trying to move forward in professional positions. And in all positions. So that's a very important point. Okay. And I agree that there's a big problem at the moment, and it could be also related with social media, but we're going to talk about that, that between little boys and little... I feel the main point I'm making is teaching children to have respect for all life, and that actually includes animals.
I think in an ideal world, which we had Thomas More's Utopia back in the day, we would all be respectful, we would all be nice, but we don't live in an ideal world. What this new toxic masculinity, gender fluidity, is about ideology. It's a political-led discourse of how human beings should be, the tyranny of the should. We are bending human nature to fit what third-wave feminists want. Now, I think the comment he made about women have come in strides, we all remember the Ladettes. We all remember how women have had much more freedoms since the second-wave feminists that I was part of, when we all burnt our bras and wore dungarees. Now, it is absolutely right that in the workplace, things still need to be done. This is not a conversation about women in the workplace. This is a conversation about toxic masculinity, about how the pendulum has never actually gone back to neutral, I'm afraid. It tends to go from one to the other, where men are now crumpled and feeling ashamed of who they are, and it starts at an early age.
And you're saying that this is due to, not to a second wave feminist that you say you were involved with, but in a third wave of feminism. And how is that different from what you were going through then, Kate?
The second wave feminism, when they talked about rights, they talked about the fact that women weren't in the workplace. They talked about, as the caller said, women had to go to the husband to signed a mortgage, etc., etc. Women were called dolly birds. Even if you look at the 70s men, there was a lot of sexism around, and women were only seen as decorative. So this was very much the second wave feminists, and they again made a lot of mistakes. Betty Friedan said women are only mothers, sisters or wives, and they don't want to be.
We have a caller on the line, 952-784-1000. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Patricia from Frankie. I just have a question. Could you tell me, or tell us, listeners who haven't seen the Gillette ad, how it is, what it consists of?
Well, basically what the Gillette ad is...
I mean over the air?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be, and I was going to come on to this, it seems to be basically that it looks at examples of perhaps pattern male behavior, I think, Kate and Roslyn May, if you've seen this commercial, where for example, one the shot that people are talking about mainly is, and the one that sticks with me is, little boys fighting rough and tumble in a garden, and the guys are standing around with beards and drinking beer and saying that's just boys will be boys and that sort of thing. And then the clean shaven, because it's a commercial and its thing is to sell shaving stuff, and the clean shaven guy gets in there and pulls him apart and says basically this is wrong. And this has been,
I get it. Okay.
Yeah, so basically, if you do happen to have facial hair, as myself and my panelist Claudio do have, we are being painted as uncaring neo-Neanderthals and not so much because we don't shave. And obviously, and then there's the whole, you know, it has been very much like that. If you go onto any sort of YouTube, you'll find it very, very easily.
Okay, thank you very much.
Roslyn.
Just to say that although the laws have changed, for example, in Spain, in favor or are much more open to spousal abuse, it doesn't mean that they're actually acted on. It doesn't mean that the man is put in prison. As I say, 9 women have died after reporting abuse already this year. Just use Ireland as an example, which I think Irish women are pretty free-thinking and liberated. And this fellow got away with rape because the judge said she was wearing pretty underwear. Therefore, she invited him. And that's like a month ago. So things have not changed. When I called the police, when my neighbor spit in my face or shoved me, they said, well, yeah, but has he actually hit you? Like, where are the bruises? Mm. Where are the proof? And I said, I see. He's got to actually beat me before anything will happen. They said, yeah, more or less.
952-784-1000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio. The email, the Facebook page is Talk Radio Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 996795. Just away from that, this year, just getting some breaking news at the moment. Sad news indeed. The family of Gordon Banks have announced the former England goalkeeper, who was part of the World Cup winning team in 1966, has died at the age of 81. Sad news indeed. Right, going live to the lines again. Always busy, always live. Live and lively here on TRE Talk Radio, up your voice in Spain. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles and panellists. Good morning, Rosalind. It's Alan, the electrician.
Good morning.
As a hairy Neanderthal, there was a great pie chart put under Facebook the other day. It was put by my sister, of all people. It shows basically a blue circle. And next to it was the legend that said reasons for rape. And it had all the little colours. It said short skirts, women talking. And then for the blue one, it just said rapists. That's the only reason for rape is rapists. The horrible people that go around doing it. This bit in Ireland about the woman that had nice underwear or something, that should never, ever, ever be taken into account. People want to go out and look nice, be they male or female. That should not give anybody any sort of reason to take them for anything else but a person and treat them with full respect. I was brought up with a family of sisters and brothers, and that's what we were taught. Not just hold the door open for women, but hold the door open for anybody that's passing after you. And just respect people. And that's what's missing. None of this teaching people this and government that. It's the respect that's gone out of society today. And if we can bring respect back and treat everybody how you want to be treated yourself, 90% of these problems will disappear.
Thank you. Thank you for your call in. Again, to the other line as well. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. My name is Ian. I'm from Javier.
Morning, Ian.
2 points to make. One, your American panelist, I'm sorry, I didn't catch her name. My impression is she treats all men as she considers American men to be. Now, I've had a great deal of contact with American men when I was in the Army, in the Airborne Forces, and in the police. I spent 30 years in police, and I met lots of American policemen, and say in the military, and they seem to feel that greeting you, where do we do a handshake, they see it as almost a form of competition, a battle. They try to squeeze your hand as hard as they can. That's not about a greeting. It's about establishing their dominance. That seems a peculiarly American trait. I haven't found it in any other European country, and I've traveled extensively in Europe and through quite a lot of the world. The other point I wanted to make was that women have progressed greatly. When I first joined the police in the very early 80s, women police officers were referred to as plonks, which was a term of derision. They had to be three times as good as a male officer to be given even half of the same recognition. I had the privilege of working with some really fantastic female officers in my early days, and later when I was desk bound, a lass who had been in probation with me actually became my boss. And I thought that was great because she was really good at what she did. Certainly in the Met, we have got a female commissioner and a huge number of senior officers who are females. So how she can say that you no longer have equality, I really don't understand that at all.
Ian,
and that is all. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your calls in there. 952-78-4000. Right, very quickly, yours first.
Okay, am I the American you're referring to? Actually, I was born in Scotland. I'm Scottish. I was brought up in Canada. After university, at the age of 23, I lived in Kenya and worked in Kenya, Southern Africa, England, and I've travelled all over the world, and I've lived here for a long time. So I'm certainly not referring to American men. I'm not American, and I was not referring to American men.
Yeah, I'd like to bring in the Trump thing.
You've got 10 seconds, Kate.
The idea that Trump has kind of rare masculinity. If you look at animals, the dominance hierarchy is there in every animal. And this idea of Trump behaviour, which, let's face it, Clinton did as well, is part of what it is to be male.
Right then, after that one, we'll be back after the national international news for a second half of an always live and always lively viewpoint.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively. Talk Radio Europe's current affairs show with a panel of invited guests. We are staying away from the Brexit and the Trump words, although we did manage to get them in somewhere near the end there. Thank you, Claudio. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is on Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joining me in the studio, Kate Mulvey, Claudio De La Torre, and Roslyn Scott Gibb. And just having a quick look at some of the emails that we've had. We're talking about a variety of subjects. We've been talking about toxic masculinity in the past hour. And we had an email in from WhatsApp in from Sam, who said, "Go, Roz. Great show so far." Looking at other emails coming in, and I'll have to update that as we go on. Roz, do you want to come back on a point there just quickly? Because we got cut short on by the bongos, as it were. That's coming up to the first hour. Kate, okay. Oh, I thought you had your hand there. I thought you were going to say something.
No, fine.
Kate, you were going to want to move on to the next subject.
Yes, gender fluidity.
Right.
Please, you have the floor, Miss Mulvey.
Right, now, back in... Well, this is an interesting thing. Back
what
in,
is it? What is it and what is the? What are we talking about?
Right, today? Gender fluidity is once again another politically based agenda of rights. Of, instead of back in the old day when we had terms such as girls who were tomboys, right. What's happened, it's been hijacked once again by the powerful trans lobby. Now, whilst it is important that we don't discriminate against those who are transsexuals, which, by the way, make up 1% of the population in England, whilst discrimination is disgraceful and shouldn't be happening, what they've done is they have redesigned the whole gender landscape. And their viewpoint is that we are gender fluid. There is no such thing as male and female. Jordan Peterson wrote a book, The 12 Rules of Life, in which he said, in response to this, that they are overthrowing nature without any scientific backup. And I think there is an arrogance in these politically led sort of movements where they literally talk about nature as biological determinism. Words are cheap. So what they have is they have these terms, which I have here, right? That gender fluidity is, we have no gender. You self-identify to what you feel in the moment. So one minute I may feel masculine, the next minute I may feel feminine. Now, back in the olden days, when we went to work, we always get into a unisex mode of behaviour. We don't up our femininity. When we come back to a relationship, the male-female, we go into our feminine, we go into our masculine. This is just an idea of normal being. But what they're saying is, we have different terms. You can be polygender. You can identify with several different genders at the same time. And how many are there? I'm just wondering. Are we an amoeba one minute? You know, the next one, we have a transgender, an umbrella term for any individual whose gender identity is different from what is typically associated with their assigned biological sex at birth. So the assigned biological sex at birth does not have any superiority or the idea of genitalia to what the trans lobby have talked about, and they've used the word self-identifying to push their argument. So if you're gender fluid, you are fluctuating between different genders all the time.
But you say this whole thing about the gender lobby, the
yeah.
trans. Is this such a thing? I mean, Claudio.
There's a very strong gender agenda. And it's been going on for many years, and it started at the end of the 90s when they changed the word sex to gender, and they pushed in the United Nations for the term male and female sex to be not used and to impose the gender, and now it's continued in many different countries. For example, in with gender-neutral toilet facilities. In Germany, they've made a recent legal amendment saying that at birth, it's not necessary to have a gender a male or female sex designated at birth. The gender-neutral sex has a sex, or what we can't call it sex anymore, the gender-neutral it, her, whatever we want to call it. It's very confusing. It's very confusing.
Yeah, but the actual trans lobby...
Well, for many years, Thailand, for example, has had about 15 different gender categories for your passport. So there's nothing new about this. But I've read recently about the opposite, where the schools allow you to change your gender, make a decision, change your gender at under the age of 12, which seems too young for me. I'm quite happy for anybody to be whoever they want to be, but I don't think children should be pressured into being one thing or the other.
952-78-4000. We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate of the Costa Blanca.
Good morning, Kate.
Right. A scramble of things. Just on the last point, I begin to think there's a special place in hell for the journalists and sociologists and, quote, academic, unquote, who invented the term gender. Now, it's got a technical sense, And it's mostly used to avoid the using the word sexual. Now, this kind of caveat is the Canadian on the panel was describing some of the nonsenses that are now happening because people can talk about gender confusion. Sexual confusion I can understand. Gender confusion I find it very difficult because the word doesn't really have a meaning. Getting off that, but giving a nice example of another problem, I am not against gender violence. I'm against violence. I don't think that people should cut up people that they share a flat with or a home with or even a marriage with. You know, this seems to me easier to be against violence than against gender violence. Another stray point on that, one of my stepsons was a Met policeman, and I learnt a lot from him. One of the things was how the police force traditionally, and for good reasons, understandable reasons, were wary of what the shorthand term was domestics, precisely because of the danger of false accusations. And I've known three women who actually have issued legal complaints to the police, and the husband being taken up and put in, this is in Spain, put in prison overnight, purely on the grounds that if in doubt, you do that to give at least the man a cruel shock. But the trouble is, there's always a stigma attached. I think someone was talking about the going under the wife beating entrance in a court. These are real reservations because there are occasions when females use the scope of the law for illegitimately. That's the least thing. The real problem with the domestic violence is usually there's no other witnesses.
Mm.
And that is really the big thing. Now, just a couple of lighter thoughts. Cats and dogs. Dogs have owners, cats have staff.
Correct.
And the final one, I've heard of moving the deck chairs on the Titanic, but this is ridiculous. Cheers.
Thanks very much for the call. And I'm going to go to Ros first and then Kate.
Okay, just I know the problem in domestic violence and there's no witnesses and it's one voice against the other. But, you know, these nine cases which were... The thing is, so they take the man in, keep him in jail or something overnight, then he comes back and beats his wife even more. So either she's terrified to leave, terrified to do anything, or he just kills her. Oh, just to clarify, Kate, with all due respect, she's not a Canadian either. She's actually British. Wait. And born in Scotland, still have my British passport, and I regard myself as a European.
You see, your nationality fluid, that's what you want to see. People keep thinking, right, Kate.
Yeah, you asked a question before we got off the subject with what is the trans lobby? The trans lobby is a very powerful lobby that has changed legislation, and it's rights led. It's a right of the transgender population above all, but they are also, there's a sinister undertone to some parts of it. They are now going into schools and they're persuading children to be transitioned, to be surgically changed. There was a child psychologist who spoke about this, and he was disbarred from his job because he went against them. They are closing down debate, and that's very serious.
952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. Good morning, panel. It's Gray. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Gray.
Good. This has been happening for years, Giles. You've had Manchester United fans from Surrey pretending that they're from Manchester to be Manchester United fans, and today I particularly feel like if we're gender fluid, I'm a sausage roll. So
that's concept, Gray, that I can, my mind would not be able to unsee that for the rest of the day.
So, yeah, look, as far as I'm concerned, you know, if somebody wants to be a transsexual, that's absolutely fine. I get it that some people think we're born into the wrong bodies. I agree with the panel that kids of 10 and 11 that are being given hormone therapy and stuff like that, that's wrong, because nobody knows at 11 where you're going to be in 5 years, 8 years, 10 years' time. And if we're starting to stunt development and even give operations to kids, then it's wrong.
Well, I mean,
so there you go, that's my view.
I wanted to be a hobbit when I was 11 years old, so I mean, that's, you know.
Thank you for your call. We're talking about England, right? We're not talking about Spanish law or anywhere else in Europe. We're talking about English law, Britain, right?
We've lost. Gray's gone there now, I'm afraid. So, but I'm going to bring Peter because he's on the line. 1 second. I'll come to you in a minute, Clyde. Peter, yes, please go ahead.
Charles, yes, Peter again.
Yeah, Peter.
Kate, is it on your
correct?
Yes, mentioned Jordan Peterson. Very, very worth listening to. Fantastic man. And I don't know if you know Kate, but when he first came to prominence, it's because he fell out with the Canadian government because of the forced laws of labelling people by gender. And as the former caller just said, none of us have any issue with anyone who wants to call themselves anything, but we shouldn't be forced by law to do it. And this is where we're setting a very dangerous precedent. As I said in my previous phone call, 71 different genders now, and apparently I'm a cisgender. So we've all got one, and they're absolutely crazy. But I've used this analogy before, but I don't think I've done it on your show here. The thing is, if you there's a thing called BIID, it's body integrity identity disorder. This is a genuine disorder, and you can seek help for it. You go to see a psychologist, a psychiatrist, or whatever. But if you're consistently, persistently identifying with something, like if I said I'm a dog, and consistently and persistently kept saying I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, even though everybody knows I'm not a dog, then I'm obviously not very well. Now, if I say, I think the CIA are following me, well, that can't be proven, and it doesn't make me that sick, it just makes me a little bit paranoid. But body identity integrity disorder is a genuine thing. Now, people who suffer from this can go to the medical people and say, I believe this leg does not belong to me. My leg does not belong to me, and I need to cut it off. Now, this is a genuine condition, body identity integrity disorder, or BIDS. Now, no doctor anywhere would cut your leg off because you believed your leg did not belong to you. I think you'd all agree with that. But if you go to your doctor and say, although I'm 6'4", 15 stone, hairy chest, Adam's apple, pair of cojones, I insist, persistently, consistently insist that I am a woman, that makes you no different than the person that is insisting they're a dog. That's body integrity identity disorder. Now, why do they perform an operation on the man or the woman that wants to change gender, but they won't take the leg off the person and insist that their leg does not belong to them? So we're going down a very, very, and as Kate said, this is it's an ideology, it's a brainwashing. And it's a very, very dangerous route we're going down. And if I persistently, consistently insist that I am a dog and I have the sexual appetite of a dog and I want to go out and mate with every female I see, should I be labelled as a dog? Should I get the rights of a dog? Should I be able to say, well, this is what I do, I'm a dog, so you can't judge me on it because this is what I do? See? So where's the difference? This is where, now, I will sit down with anyone who insists they're any gender or they want to be this, and if Bob wants to be called Sue, I'll sit down and buy Sue a beer. I don't care. But I don't want a government to force me to say that this person is this or this person is that. That's where we're going down the sticky, sticky route, in my opinion. So I'll leave you on that.
Thank you for that one, Peter. Kate?
Yeah, I think what's interesting here is stigma. It's very important that we don't stigmatise those who say and want to be different, who have the freedom. But what's the problem is, what's happened with these kind of people who feel they're marginalised is the grievance culture of saying that they are a woman without a vagina. So what they've done is they have redefined, reclassified the entire history, natural order,
because they say so. And I think that you're right there on that point. I mean, Germaine Greer said just because you put your penis inside doesn't make you a woman. She was no platformed. She was not allowed to speak at the university. The problem is the closing down of debate is that these groups, and that's why they're sinister, because we should be allowed to debate these subjects and they should be rigorously scrutinised and come to some rational agreement whereby, yes, you don't stigmatise, but nevertheless, you don't say I'm a woman with a V or I'm a woman without one. That's where the problem lies, I think.
I'm going to come to Claudia first, and then I come to you, boss. Claudia, you're going to say something on this one.
What worries me, for example, is that children who identify with another sex at a very young age at school are being encouraged to transition to another sex, and I think that is extremely worrying. For example, an eight-year-old who perhaps at one moment of his life or of her life feel that they identify with another sex, but that doesn't mean it's forever. I remember at school there were tomboys who are girls who for a phase are dressed more like guys or boys that played with dolls and maybe were more feminine or masculine, but that doesn't mean that they wanted to transition. So when you see underage, putting an example of someone in the public figure, Angelina Jolie's daughter, who is 10 years old and identifies as a man, mm-hmm. and they're already talking about her transition mm-hmm. to become a male, I think that at that age, you don't know what you want. Your brain isn't fully developed. You haven't. So I think it's very dangerous to encourage young children to transition to another sex when, but they say that a new study shows that gender non-conforming kids who go on to transition already have a strong sense of their true identity, one that differs from their assigned gender. I think that's respectable. However, they have to wait till they're overage to transform into another sex, because it's a decision that will mark their whole entire life, and it's non-reversible. Their children that are, they're having sex changes underage, when for any other reason, you need, for many other things, you need to be 18. So you have to wait till you're 18 to drive, to buy a house, to get married, to vote, many other decisions that are less important. However, an underage person can change sex, which I personally feel I don't understand it personally at all. And I think the debate shouldn't be closed, and it's something that should be talked about, and it shouldn't be made a taboo subject. And there's other people who have, this whole gender agenda is stronger every time. And we're seeing how in schools there are campaigns of trans campaigners coming into schools and telling children that if they feel that they identify with another gender, they should ask for advice on to transitioning to another sex. So I really don't like the direction that this is going.
Rosalind.
Well, no, I just agree that I think it's fine for children to experiment and think however they want as they're growing up and play with cowboy guns or dolls or whatever, wear pink if you're a boy, but not make any permanent decisions until after 18. Just like to say something to Peter, though, about he doesn't want the government making decisions for him, but it's okay for the governments to make decisions about abortion for women, right?
952-78-4000. Good morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costblanca, just a quickie. On the last point, I think we should be glad that, by and large, the medical profession has been very much more cautious at responding to people's belief that they have to have a change in official sexuality. I know I should have said gender, but I, as I say, I'm rather aware of the effect of using the word. By and large, the medical profession, left to its own devices, unimpeded by the law, tends to say, you know, you need a few years to be absolutely sure, etc., etc. Now, I therefore agree with the idea that the lobby of the, I forgot what the LGTB, is that
correct,
right?
Correct, yep.
Oh, great. It's overplaying its hand. And I've been thinking that the gay lobby has been pushing too hard and too fast, because most decent social changes take a generation to embed.
Thank you for your call in there. Another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, my name is Brian Connor from Callahamda.
Morning, Brian.
Just one point. I think it's rather odd that a high street pharmaceutical shop, I don't want to name the name, in the UK recently started doing Botox for people on walk-ins. But basically, they go in, they can have their lips done or their whatever done with Botox. And then there was a whole big furore that these people had to be checked beforehand, and they had to be over 25, and they had to, you know, satisfy certain criteria. It's odd that you have to be over 25 to have Botox and prove that your granny and your mammy and your daddy approve, and yet they're considering, you know, transgendering small kids. So I just think it's a big contradiction in the law that Botox you can't have, but all your bits cut off, no problem.
Thank you. Thank you for that one, Brian. Delicately put. 952-784-000 is the phone number. Going to come back to Kate after this.
This is Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always lively. Let me go to the, before I come on to our panel who are itching, I know, to get going with our subjects. Let's go to the emails and let's go to the WhatsApp. WhatsApp is +34645996795. Transgender changes are clearly a mental illness. Chopping off your breasts and stick a plastic penis is not going to do anything. The worst thing is that this is being paid for by the UK taxpayer in the NHS. If you want to have non-critical surgery, such as a sex change, you should, it should come out of your pocket. The issue is a mental one and not a physical one. So that's some of, that's one of the WhatsApp in as well. And going back to this point about the gender violence thing we had, this is, we'll just say it's from G. A friend of mine was arrested. He was accused by his ex-partner of rape in Marbella. When the alleged action occurred, he was actually on live television, Telecinco, being interviewed in Madrid, 750 kilometres an hour. He has three daughters, one of whom is handicapped. He spent the weekend in jail until it was put to the judge, where it was immediately dismissed. Luckily, he had people to help him taking care of his children. Laws have to change. It's just as bad for genuine abuse cases as it is for genuinely innocent men. They have to protect everyone. Thank you for your emails in there. 952-784-000, the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. Facebook page is Talk Radio, your official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34645996795. Kate, 1 second, we're going live to the lines again. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, this is Nora from Torrox.
Good morning.
Hi. Just briefly, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do believe that there is some sinister agenda going on in the world today, whether it's through social media. I think it is social media, where we're allowing our children, first of all, to be reared by social media. This whole gender fluidity situation that's arising. I think the whole sexualization of our children is a problem, and I think parents need to take back control of this situation from the media. Pornography for children is now available at the tip of their fingers through social media. That is a free manual on how to disrespect each other. And I'm not a prude, but I'm just saying, children, there is an agenda in the world, whether it's coming from the dark web or coming from lobby groups, for the sexualizing of children. Children should not be exposed or debated in public constantly to do with these issues. it's up to us parents to take back control from social media of our children before it's too late, because hang on to your hats. We haven't seen anything yet with the whole social media issues.
I mean, I think you've got a very good point there. I was actually discussing this off air with the panel, the fact that, you know, children as young as, if you haven't got a girlfriend or boyfriend when you're 7 years old, and now we've got Valentine's coming up this week, and the whole marketing campaign that goes behind that, and the pressure on children to grow up, even on, you know, and this is going to sound incredibly prudish, but I caught the new Ariana Grande, because I'm down with the kids like that, video the other day, and it basically hints at a possibility of a multiple sexual encounter. And you just think, Ariana Grande is not a hard ghetto fighter. She's a pop princess.
Yeah.
And if that's going to go out on primetime TV, it's going to be available on YouTube, and you cannot police your kids 24/7 on the social media, then what are we then encouraging kill children as young as 6, 7, 8, and 9 to think there's something wrong with me if I'm not dressing in that kind of way, yes, and acting in that kind of way?
Well, this is very true. I can say it from my own grandchild. My granddaughter is 7. She's under pressure at the moment to have a boyfriend, 7 years old. And the whole situation is that our children are being sexualized, and there's a sinister motive behind it. And we will see what it is. If we take back control of our children.
Thank you very much for your call, and interesting points well made, as always, on Viewpoint. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Kate?
I think to conclude, I mean, what's been said is quite interesting, and there's a whole merging of things that are happening. Social media, indeed, what it means is the kind of emotional outpourings of any old person are taken as fact and meld into legislation. I write for newspapers which are edited rigorously, are pored over by lawyers. Articles have to make cases for what they say. And that's where the problem, that is one of the things that's happening. And society moves in a way we cannot kind of legislate for it. We don't know what's happening. And at the moment, we are being bullied by the rights agenda, the grievances of the marginalised.
When you said the rights agenda, you mean of the far right? Or
No,
the
idea of rights, the idea of our rights. This started in the 60s for a good reason. Gay rights, women's rights, they have been hijacked by, and what a lot of callers have said, lobbies with sinister undertones. And the sinister undertones are this: I am trans, and therefore the society must bend to what I am. And so therefore, I'm not going to say, okay, I'm different, nevertheless with the freedom to do what I want. I'm going to say that being trans is a legitimate part of human nature, and that a woman who is assigned biologically at birth is just one kind of woman, which is where the word self-identifying. They're using clever language, but words are cheap. And they're not being held up to debate by evolutionary psychologists, by science, by nature, etc., etc. That's a problem. They are leading.
Going live to the lines, 952-784-4000. Good morning, call. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's John from Meehan.
Morning, John.
Actually, I work with the National Police. It's just a warning, but a sort of advice to people. The police in Spain, some while ago, didn't actually take domestic violence very, very seriously. Now they take it incredibly seriously. I mean, it's almost not an exaggeration to say more seriously than a murder. You finish up with like 4 police officers probably attending to one person. Could be male or female, usually a female. But the point I'm making is that having made the complaint, it's almost impossible to withdraw it. And I know I was a police officer in the UK, that in many cases, the next day, people don't wish to go ahead with it. In England, it just gets dropped or whatever. But what I'm saying in Spain is be very, very careful before anyone makes a complaint to realise that there's no easy way of backing out on. So you might do it to get one over on your partner, but just think really carefully because it's very serious. And the cells, people say they spend the night in the cells and just pass by. Of course, I've been in the cells lots of times. They are stinky, horrible, revolting places to be.
Thank you for your call in there. 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Giles, Peter again. Sorry for the third call.
It's quite all right. You know, you've got, I know you have views on this, so we always have to hear your viewpoint.
Well, I agree again with what Kate just said, and the caller previous to the last caller talked about cynicism. That the worry for me is, having been born in 1960, in the late 60s and early 70s, although I don't remember it, I've read up on it, there was a movement to completely get rid of the age of consent. And many of the people involved then ended up high up in the Labour Party. I won't name them, they're still about now. But they were adamant that they wanted to get rid of the age of consent. And most of this became, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't have rights, but the gay rights came along. And because it was illegal for males under 21 and all this business, they were basically telling them to mind their own business. And so they sort of joined forces. So they said, well, you can go around and do what you want with young boys, but we, vice versa, need to do what... So there was this movement to eradicate the age of consent. And I've got a horrible, sneaky feeling that by sexualizing these young children and forcing them to grow up quicker, it won't be long before we start saying, well, they have a choice whether they want to have sex or not. They have, and there could be this movement towards that. It's frightening, and I hate to think I'm right, but that could be it. Another quick point. I don't want to get here. You said, he said, but I once said when Nathan was on here, God bless his soul, that I believed in free choice and free life. And he said, you said both. I'd like to think that every child in this world was born into a loving, caring, wanting family. But I also understand that is not the case. We don't live in utopia. And there are incidences where women choose to have abortions. If you'd listened to me, Rosalind, you were pro-abortion. And I said, women don't get to choose because the government get to choose for you. That's why I asked if you believed in a cutoff date. I don't believe in government telling you what to do, and that's not what I said. And also, I don't have sons, and my sons don't use prostitutes. So listen a little bit more carefully before you try to bite my head off. And I'll leave you on that, Giles.
Thank you very much for your calls in there, Peter. 952-78-4000.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Live and lively as always, into the last 15 or less than 15 minutes or so. 952-784-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp us on +34 645 99 67 95. I'm joined by Kate Mulvey, Roslyn Scott Gibb, and Claudio De La Torre. We go live to the lines. Good morning, Claudio. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's John Dodd.
Morning, John.
Morning to you. You mustn't criticise yourself. You're nothing like a prude. I can assure you of that. You're a nice, honest Christian man. And if I've ever had to be interviewed or criticised, I would accept it from you.
I've been called many things in my time, but a nice, honest Christian man is a first, John. Anyway, what can I do for you, my friend?
Well, I'm off the subject a little bit, but yesterday a diplomat from Nigeria happened to came into my business, my garage.
Right.
He told me what he wanted, and I thought, this is a good chap. And they're in the middle of elections and things. I said, how many people are there in Great Britain? But the way you speak English, I would have thought you'd born there.
Right,
well,
John.
Thank you very much, he said. But he said, you've got 96 million.
Okay, thanks.
And rising. That's the United Kingdom.
96 million Nigerians in the United Kingdom, John, yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you for that one. Cheers. We'll speak to you in a little bit time. Thank you. Always nice to be a nice, honest Christian man. Right then, let's go on. 952-78-4000. Quick, another point as well. Where were we there? I've lost that one. Right then, millennials into the last. Oh, no, it's here we go. Another quick caller as well. 952, good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Viewpoint, please.
Yes, good morning. I did try not to phone in again, but the Irish lady really did it. So that was the call of the day. I think she's absolutely brilliant. And I've been wondering about something else for some time, but it sounded so ridiculous that I did wonder whether there was any truth in it. But I wonder what the panel think about this one. It's well known that in America, the animals are given antibiotics, and it's having an effect on resistance to antibiotics. Across the world, we're pouring hormones into water supplies, and animals are being fed hormones for rapid growth and things for our food. And I've wondered for quite a long time whether that is having an effect on the human body and the way we think and the way we present ourselves and our self-images. Just throwing it out there, it might be absolutely crazy. I'd love somebody to get somebody on TRE to talk about this, because I think it's an interesting subject.
Thanks for the call in there, Sharon. Right then, 952-78-4000. Ross, are you going to come in on a point there?
I think it's all new research, and it'd be very interesting to get somebody to come in and talk. But I think we're only just beginning to think about the effects of all these antibiotics and what we're eating. But yeah, good. It's a good topic. Good question.
Into the last 10, we'll try and do that as a future point. Then into the last 10 minutes or so, just want to get your thoughts quickly on millennials, because they're one of the major news stories of the past couple of days has been this fact that millennials have been saying, students have been saying, they want to be able to go into school later because they haven't really woken up at 10 o'clock and they need to be waking up later on. I'll kick off with Kate and then come to you, Roz. Kate.
Yeah, the millennials, the snowflakes, aggrieved little youngsters from 18 to 30, the age group. I mean, they spend their entire time. Well, it started off in American universities about this kind of grievance culture and about no platforming and about being triggered. When Trump came in 2016, students complained of being traumatised after finding Trump and had chalked on sidewalks around the campus. And the Trump-averse protesters chanted, "Come to speak to us, we are in pain." Now, this idea of being the kind of new, younger people, they've turned into what they're called the nouveau prudes. Because the older generation, the lecturers at these universities, where it all started, said things like that free expression, the whole point of free expression was and social progression was to hold ideas up, good and bad, to be subjected to enlightened reason. In other words, you actually have a rigorous debate and you're not scared to say what you feel. But what's happening is everything's no-platformed. If you're coming in and they don't like what you're talking about, they no-platform you.
You don't get the right to speak.
You don't get the right to speak. They're closing down debate. And what's being said is, hang on a minute, you're being triggered by Shakespeare. They are not being prepared for real life, because in real life, the vicissitudes of real life is that there is risk, everybody, risk. Life is not perfect. I think one caller said, in an ideal world, people would be nice to each other, but we ain't from the beginning of time.
Right then.
There's an epidemic of sugarcoating. Everything needs to be sugarcoated, not to trigger people and not for people not to take offence. It's really something ridiculous.
Ross?
Well, to me, the sheer joy of going to university is exchanging ideas and really exploring any subject at all. And that's the glory and the joy of being at university. So that is pathetic. But I thought we were going to talk about 12-year-olds, kids who want to start school at midday.
That's right. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is the Western world is definitely going to be left behind, because all the children in the Far East, they're studying 7 days a week. They're very keen to learn. They're studying from 7 or 8 in the morning till 7 at night, and then they'll go off and do something else in the evening. And they take extra classes on Saturday and Sunday. And I see it in my students, because they're so much sharper and quicker. And they're also extremely polite. They're brought up to be well-mannered as well. So the West, in fact, I heard a very interesting talk by an author who's just brought out a book, how we're going to be taken over by the Eastern.
Thank you.
By the East.
Can I go live to the lines? We've got callers on the board. Right, 952-78-4000. Good morning, call. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's John Dodd again.
Yes,
I'm
John.
A slip of the tongue. It wasn't 96 Nigerians in England. It's 96 persons, million persons in total.
Right. Thank you for that one, John. Thank you for your call.
I'm sorry, but it's slip of the tongue.
Nope,
it wasn't your fault. It's mine. There you go. I'm taking the blame.
Thank you, John. Have a great day. Going live to another caller on the line. 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE.
Kate Costa-Blanca.
Just quickly, yes, Kate.
Brief point. The issue that you advertised be coming on was, should young teenagers start school later because of, you know, all the strains of being a teenager, I mean the medical, technical strains. And the answer to the question,
quickly, one I put forward is that the parents should make sure they go to bed earlier.
Ah, yes, but you see, with all the social media and viewpoint... And,
yes, and then the parents actually say, fine, go to bed. You know, take away the social media. It's perfectly within the role of the parent.
To take away the social media. But then, surely, you're going to be infringing on your teenagers or your millennials' rights then, surely,
Kate? Don't be silly. I mean, there are no such things. No one has rights automatically to do precisely what they want. The answer is... You know, yes, the teenager, particularly the male, has more stress on his system going through teenage years, in which case you don't put it off and mess up by letting them stay up until 12 o'clock at night playing social media. You say, fine, you go to bed early and you get up early.
Thank you. Thank you for your call in there, Kate. There we go.
Yeah, I think this is the whole point of what we're saying, is that this is a continuum. This is how society goes. The mollycoddling of the millennials, the rights culture, my right to go to school later, an ad hoc right without any basis in anything other than a personal preference. And I think this is the whole... problem, that they feel entitled, this sense of entitlement that we didn't have, where back in the day, back in the olden days, we just took it as read that we would get up. And to have that sense, yes, and to have that arrogance is the preserve of youth. Okay, I agree. And it's actually, okay, fine, social media has caused this and young people want to do this, that is fine. And the problem is they're taken seriously. The problem is when personal emotional outpourings become legislation, as they had where misogyny was a hate crime, et cetera, then they get power. And what it is, it's a kind of narcissism of we are different because it's all about protests. Young people are activists. That's why they're so tired because it's all about activism.
Ross.
Well, as I said, they're going to be left behind. I always went on the quote of the early bird gets the worm. So I was always early.
Claudia,
still am.
Would you consider yourself a millennial or have you moved on from there?
I don't identify myself with the youth of these days because I just feel that there's a lot of snowflakes or however we want to call them, people that are easily triggered. I think there's no free speech anymore. You can't talk about certain subjects without people getting completely flustered and shutting you down. If you talk, there's many taboo subjects like immigration, Islam, abortion, Trump, Brexit, etc. That if you don't agree with with the mainstream opinion, you're immediately shut down. You're branded a racist, a fascist, intolerant, especially on social media. We have all these social justice warriors, and then we have the Corbynistas and the Diane Abbottists who will attack anyone who dares to question their moral integrity. And also universities these days have become left-wing indoctrination centers where university professors are in their ivory towers on their moral high horses. Absolutely. telling the youth how they have to think. Then we have even in University of Cambridge and the University of Oxford, we have all these extreme left-wing activists who are demanding that certain statues of historical figures be removed, and which is absolutely appalling, I find. They're trying to rewrite history, and they're trying to remove and even attacking certain defacing monuments of historical figures like Sir Winston Churchill because they believed him to be a warmonger and a colonialist.
Claudio, we're going to run out of time. I've woken you up. You're in full flight there, obviously. Claudio from his 12 to 12 o'clock. He's woken up.
Yeah, bottom line, I do not believe with the millennial culture, and I do not believe with and the tyranny of political correctness in the UK.
I agree.
Is, atrocious.
Right, then, onto the email of the WhatsApps regarding teenagers starting school later because they are tired. So what happens when you get a job? Will companies have to start working later on? It's an interesting question. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. If you wish to leave a small post, get just a quick call, a very quick one. You're live on TRE, caller.
Right, Kate, that's sort of fairly one-sided view of what's happening in universities. There is an awful lot of right-wing pressure groups, and the intolerance usually is on that side.
Thank you for the call in there. I'll just try and take a call very, very quickly before we go. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, good morning. My name is Claudia, and just a quick one because I know it's almost,
yep,
over. I've got four teenagers. One is a millennial. She's 19. And I don't see that millennial thing that much. I mean, they're all hardworking, studying. They don't take anything for granted. They don't feel entitled. I mean, I'm not just talking about my kids. Obviously, they're friends. And I don't see that much of a problem.
Great, good to end on a positive note there. You're not all snowflakes. Thank you much for the calls in. Once again, thanks to my guests, Kate Mulvey.
Thank you. Lovely to be here again.
Claudia Latore.
Thank you very much to everyone for listening. Have a great week.
And Rosa Scott-Gibb.
Thank you, Jars. A pleasure as always.
This show will be repeated at 6 o'clock. A sausage roll. How about a Greg's vegan roll if you want to become something else? Thank you for that one, Greg. Stephen Ritson is up next. Viewpoint
by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.